Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
So today, Psalms is divided, actually, Psalms has 150 Psalms in it, but it's actually divided into five main books. And today, we've been going through all the different five books, and today we're going to be finishing up the actual fourth book of Psalms. And it ends in Psalm 106. Now, the fourth book of Psalms is actually really interesting because for the Israelites and the people who are actually reading the Psalms and experiencing the things that were going on, for the Israelites, book four was a very difficult time for the Israelites. They had been taken away from Israel, their homeland. They were in exile in Babylon, and they had almost lost all hope. They were struggling. They were hurting. And so the people there, their leaders, their spiritual leaders, brought them back to hope in God through these different psalms. And these psalms helped them in their exile, in their time of difficulty, to find hope and to find confidence in God. And it was an instruction book for them to figure out exactly how God helps them and to be reminded of things so their confidence in God can be once again restored. The first step in book four was to remember. To remember. Look back through history and see all of the ways in which God has cared for His people. Look back and be reminded of how God is faithful and true in all circumstances. Even when it looks like your life is really hard, you can remember and look back at how faithful and how trustworthy God is. Then you respond to God's trustworthy and faithfulness by worshiping Him. That was the second part, by worshiping Him. You worship Him for who He is and what He does. You praise Him. You sing out to Him and you declare it to others. You sing out to others. God is good. You remind yourself of that by praising Him, and you show others that even in times of really hard struggle, you remind yourself that God is good by praising Him, and you tell others about how good and faithful He is, even in your times of difficulty. The third step we saw was the response of praise isn't just in our words, but also from our heart, in the way we keep our heart pure. It isn't just words of praise that we give to God, but it is a life of praise that we give to God. With our heart, the way we live, by living a pure and holy life, we remind God that it isn't just our words that we praise and honor and glorify Him, but also in our day-to-day living, we are reminded that God is good, and we show that in the way that we live. And that was the fourth part. All of this is captured in the book four of Psalms. And the fourth part is this. We show our confidence in God. We grow in our confidence in God by giving thanks to Him, but not just in a general sense. But very specifically, we give thanks to Him for not only how He is good, but how He is good in our lives. In your life, how is God good? How does God care for you? You look through that and you see that, and then you respond in praise and thankfulness to Him. And this is what we're going to see in the final part of book four of the Psalms. All right? The final part of book four has four chapters, four psalms, Psalm 103, 104, 105, and 106. These are the four different psalms. Now, all four of these psalms are songs of thanksgiving to God. They remind the people that God is good and calls out to the people to thank God, generally speaking. But each of these psalms do it in their own specific way. They thank God in different aspects of how God is good. So today we're going to go through briefly what each psalm talks about and how it connects with thanksgiving to God. Now, this week, go home and read through 103, 104, 105, and 106 and see for yourself how each of these psalms tells God thank you, and then use those psalms to remind yourself of how good he is in your life. Connect God's goodness to your life, okay? This is our goal for this week. And so for us to do that, we're going to start by looking at Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, the basic theme is this: God cares for me as his child. God cares for me as his child. Psalm 103 is actually the second psalm in book four that David writes. He only writes two psalms in book four, and this is the second one. We looked at the first one last week. The second one is Psalm 103. Now, David here is thanking God and praising him, not only for how he cares for his children, but also in God, how God specifically cares for David himself. In Psalm 103, David is starting out by talking to himself. David's like, hey, David, look at how God is good to you. And this is what he says in verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says this: bless the Lord, O my soul. This is David talking to himself. Bless the Lord, David, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget how good he is, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Stop right there. He redeems my life from destruction. God has saved David's life over and over and over. And David remembers that, and he's thankful for that. He crowns David with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's good to David, right? Verse 5 says this: who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He gives me good things to eat, and he takes care of me. This is how David is responding, right? He's literally saying to himself, David, look at how good God is to you. Look at how much he loves you. Look at all the good things he gives to you. And so my response, David, your response should be, thank God, praise him for how he cares for you. And then, through the rest of the psalm, he turns to us, to you and to me, and he tells us to thank God in the same way. In all of these psalms, he turns to us and he reminds us of the many ways that God cares for us as his children. He's slow to anger. He doesn't get mad quickly. He's slow to anger, and he's quick, and he's abounding in mercy. He's willing to forgive us quickly, and his mercy towards us is full and overflowing. This is how David describes God's relationship to us in verse 11 through 14. He says this: for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is God's mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions, our mistakes, our sins from us. He says, as far as east is from west, as far as that is, this is how far God has removed our sins, our mistakes, our failures from us. This is how he cleanses us. Verse 13 says this: like as a father pitieth or loves or cares for his children, so the Lord pitieth, he loves and cares for them that fear him. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows how we struggle. He knows when we have good times and when we have bad times. And he recognizes that. And in doing so, he says, you know what? I know you're going through a hard time, and I'm going to love you through it anyways. This is how God responds to us and how God cares for us. And David recognized that in his own life, and he calls us to do the same thing. He says, Steve, look at how much God loves you. Look at how much God cares for you. Look at all of the things that God does, not just throughout the whole world, but look at how he does that in your life. This is what Psalm 103 says. Tells us how God cares for you as his child. Verse Psalm 104, let's go to the next chapter. The Psalm 104 describes this: God provides and cares for me as part of his creation. The next psalm looks at God's care from a very different perspective. This psalm calls us to praise God in the way He provides for all of His creation. God has created all things, right? And then He does it in a marvelous and magnificent way. From the very starry skies that we see, all of the different heavens and all of the beauty that we see in the sky. The clouds and the winds are His to control. Here's the thing. He creates the mountains, the very tops of the mountains. From, you know, we like to ski down mountains and they look so huge and magnificent, right? All the way down to the depths of the ocean. From the tops of the mountain to the bottom depths of the ocean is all created and formed and protected and cared for by God Himself. And from those mountains, the rivers that flow water from the tops of the mountains all the way down to the oceans is God's way of showing His care for His creatures that He has created. Because from that rivers, those rivers flow water, which gives thirst, provides drink and water for the animals, but also gives nourishment to the grass and to the fields so that they have all creation has plenty to eat. Even the seasons, the fall, winter, spring, and summer, all of these are created by God to care for the ones that He created. Psalms 104 describes this in all kinds of ways. And it sums it up in verses 24 through 24, 27, and 28. Verse 24 says this, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works? How many are Thy works? In wisdom, Thou hast made, or hast Thou made them all. All the earth is full of Thy riches. Verse 27 says this, these wait all upon Thee. All of creation waits on You, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. All the animals, from the little bird to the great lion to the huge elephant, all look to God to provide for them and to care for their needs. Verse 28, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest Thy hand, and they are filled with good. God cares for His creation, and you are part of His creation. He reminds us, this psalm reminds us that in the same way that God created all things and cares for all things, He created you. And He cares for you. And He takes care of all of your needs in the same way because you are His precious created being. Psalm 105 says this, God protects and provides for me as one who belongs to Him. This is interesting. Because in Psalm 105 talks about the history of Israel and how God specifically led the whole history of Israel to provide and care for each generation all throughout its history. And it praises God for how He has done that. It starts out by remembering God's promise to Abraham and Jacob, saying, guys, I'm going to give you a land. I will promise you a land. And that land will be yours and for your descendants. That will be theirs and your special land. In fact, God led him to the land of Canaan, and he lived there for a while. But then when a famine came, God used Joseph to lead the children of Israel out of the promised land, out of Canaan in the time of famine, to make sure that their needs were still supplied. And then through the life of Moses, God used Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt. And he miraculously cared for them and helped them on their journey back to Canaan. Finally, they praise God for how they led him back all the way to the promised land that he had promised to Abraham. This psalm, Psalm 105, reminds us of two things. The first thing it reminds us is this. Just as God remembers His promises to those before us, so also He remembers His promise to us. You see, you look through the Bible and you see all of the different ways God keeps His promise. It's amazing how many ways God keeps His promise, and that helps us to see that God keeps His promise to you. When you see Scripture and you read Scripture, that those same promises that God has consistently kept for those before you, He will also keep for you too. But there's another interesting thing that Psalm 105 reminds us, and this is this. In caring for each generation in the way that he has, God gives the following generation the shoulders of the previous generation to stand on, to be strengthened. Here's what I mean. When this psalm was written, the children of Israel were in Babylon. They were in exile, in exile and struggling, right? And this psalmist reminds the people, look, you can trust in God. In the same way that God used Abraham, and then how he used Jacob, and he helped Abraham in helping Jacob, and then in Joseph's life, the generation there, he continues to build on each generation to help the next generation to follow and trust after God. This is true in your life too. And in each of our lives, our previous generations have been helpful in getting us to where we are, to be reminding us of God's goodness and his faithfulness. But it isn't just that he helps us in our generation, he also uses us. Moms, dads, this is the part where you come in, because it is your children and your grandchildren who will be standing on your shoulders to trust and rely on God's faithfulness. They will be looking at your lives to be reminded of how good and how faithful God is. So in your time now, be overflowing in describing how good God is, not just to the people in the Bible, but to the people in your life, to remind them that God is good and trustworthy. So as your children grow up, they also can be doing the same thing in helping their children, your grandkids, your great-great grandkids, in showing how trustworthy and how faithful God is. He uses us. And he cares for us. Finally, Psalm 106. The last book, the last chapter in book 4 describes this. God is merciful and patient with me, even when I sin against him. God is merciful and patient with me, even when I sin against him. You know, I didn't even read any verses from Psalm 105, did I? Let's read some, because this is really good. We're going to go back. Forget what we said about Psalm 106. Let's go back to 105. 105:5 says this, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Verse 6, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Verse 7, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all earth. In verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. You see, this is how God works. God remembers his covenant. God remembers his promise. And for an infinite number of generations. Like the previous generations and our generations and the generations that follow us, eventually your kids, your grandkids, God remembers his promise. He remembers his covenant. In the same way that he remembers it to the children of Abraham, to the children of Israel, so also he remembers his covenant to us. Now, Psalm 106, God is merciful and patient with me even when I sin against him. You see, this is really interesting. Because God is always good and faithful and trustworthy. But us, not so much. We often fail our Heavenly Father. We often turn our backs on him and forget his goodness and get focused in on other things besides him. And here is where God shows us how good and kind and patient he is. He tells us that as often as Psalm 106 reminds us, that as often as we fail him, as often as we sin against him, he forgives us and is long-suffering towards us. Here's how this psalm starts out. 106 verse 1 says this, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Verse 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Boy, if you do good, if you're faithful and if you're righteous, blessed are you. Then verse 4 says this, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation." Verse 5, "that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." But it says this in verse 6, "We have sinned with our fathers." Just like our fathers have sinned, we have sinned. We are no different from those before us. We have committed iniquity. We have done iniquity. And from here, the psalmist goes through the history of Israel in the same way that the previous psalm goes over all of the history of Israel, of how God cared for them and how God took care of them and how God provided for them through all generations. Now this psalm goes back through the history of Israel again, and only this time it talks about all of the ways that each generation has failed and sinned and left and abandoned God, their creator and their sustainer. He says this way, but here's the thing that's amazing. Many times Israel would turn their back on God. Many times they would be angry, or they would doubt God, or they would forsake Him. And often God had to correct them. Often God had to say, "You will have to go through difficulty for the choices that you made." And they suffered for their choices. They made mistakes and they paid for their mistakes. And often in going through those mistakes, they realized what they had done. And then they turned back to God and said, "God, we are sorry. We messed up. We really blew it." And here's the goodness of God. Every time they returned to God in repentance, every time they told God, "God, we messed up. We're so sorry," God always forgave them. Every time He would correct them, He would show them where they messed up. And when they saw their mistake, when they saw their sin, and they turned back to God, every time God forgave them. This is the story that this psalm talks about. It talks about how from the very moment they left Egypt, amazing miracles. God did 10 miraculous signs to show them how good and powerful God is. And as soon as they left Egypt, the very first obstacle that they came to, the Red Sea, they were like, "God, I can't believe You took us all the way out here just to be killed by the army. God, this is horrible." And yet God opened up the Red Sea into two, and they walked on dry ground all through the sea. God destroyed their enemies. The ones who were about to destroy them, God destroyed them. Not long after that, just a few days after that, they started complaining again. "God, we don't have anything to eat. This is terrible. What are You going to do? You just left us out here in the desert to die? This is horrible. How can You do this to us?" And yet God was gracious and merciful, and He gave them manna. Like pancakes with syrup. It was amazing. And then maybe a side of peanut butter just to make sure everything was really good. I wish He would have done that. Maybe He would have done that. I don't know. Maybe that was like peanut butter flavored pancakes. Who knows? But this is how God took care of them. Through the desert. And He took care of them that way. And then they continue on. As they continue to go, they keep turning their backs on their creator. One time they turned their back on their creator, their sustainer, the very one who created them. And they made with their own hands an idol. And instead of worshiping the one who made them, they ended up worshiping the very idol, the golden calf that they made themselves. They turned their back on God that way. When they finally came to the promised land, they doubted God and they refused to go into the land that God promised them. Then God corrected them for that. Eventually, they got into the promised land, and what did they do? They abandoned Him. God told them, "Cleanse the land, keep the land pure, get rid of people who worship false idols, because you will be led astray by them." But they didn't do it. And what happened? They were led astray. They abandoned God, suffered or worshiped idols, even offering their own children to these false gods. And yet even here, in all these ways, God chose not to abandon them. He chose to continue to patiently correct them. And in their repentance, God always forgave them. This psalm, Psalm 106, is summed up by these words. Verses 43 through 48 says this. Many times did God deliver them, the children of Israel, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. They suffered the consequences for their decisions. Verse 44, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Verse 45, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Verse 46, he made them also, this is interesting that we don't think about often, he made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Like even the countries that carried them captives, God made sure that they were at least somewhat kind to them and didn't destroy them. Verse 47 says this, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the among the heathen. Remember, they're in exile. Save us, gather us back, bring us back. Give and but while you're wait, we're waiting for that, to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. And verse 48 says this, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen, praise ye the Lord. Even here, the people who are suffering in exile were reminded that, yes, God is good. When we repent, God will forgive us even now. And they trusted in that, and they trusted in the salvation that God was going to bring. Oh, we know we messed up. We messed up big time. And yet, God, you have been forgiving all in all of the generations before us. Why would you change now? Boy, this is helpful for us, isn't it? Because sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we choose to do things that we know we ought not to. And yet every time that happens, we can trust that God will forgive us and that he will restore us. In all of these Psalms that we looked at, we can be reminded of one thing. We're not that much different from the children of Israel. We're not that much different. We also tend to doubt him. We also tend to complain. We also tend to pursue our own idols of lust, of envy, of pride. And yet all of this because we are in Christ Jesus. Our Father does not abandon us. He may correct us for the purpose of restoring us, but he will always forgive when we repent of our sins. He always forgives. So, in each of these Psalms, we have been reminded of all different kinds of ways that God chooses to, that God cares for us. Not just in the lives of the people that we are reading about in Psalms, but also in our own lives. And this is the final step in restoring and regaining your confidence in God, is not just remembering how God has been faithful in the past, not just praising him for it in the words that you sing and in the life that you live, but also in giving thanks and connecting God's greatness and faithfulness to your life, to how good and how wonderful God is, not just to everybody else, but how good he is to you. And the more you recognize that, the more you see that, the more you will grow in confidence. From trust, oh, I know God is good, to confidence, I know God is good. This is the path that we have been given. So being reminded of this, we have one response that we can give. Well, there's a lot of responses, but one of the responses we find right in the center of these four Psalms. Right in the center, there's a couple of verses that remind us exactly a great way for us to respond by all these things. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5 says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Verse 2. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. As you're reminded, sing to him and talk about how good he is. Verse 3. Glory ye in his holy name. Man, God is good. Man, my God is amazing. He is awesome. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Verse 4. Seek the Lord, seek his strength and seek his face evermore. As you see how good God is, go after God, pursue him, enjoy spending time with him, want to be with him. Verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. So here's my question for you. How will you choose to respond based on how good God is to you. Each of us, in our own lives, God isn't just good to everybody. He's good to you. You are a recipient. You are a receiver of His goodness. The question is, how are you going to choose to respond to that? Will you get used to it and say, oh, this is God. I'm God's kid. You know, it's great. Everything like that. Or will you choose to actively think about it and then respond to Him in thankfulness for how He cares for you? I hope that me and you, we all will be able to respond in a way that gives God glory for how good and how wonderful He is. Thank Him. Think about your life. Think about the ways each day God takes care of you. Dads and moms in your family and the ways that God has taken care of you to brought you to where you are now, and then respond by wanting to show your kids how good God is. Wanting to show eventually your grandkids how good God is. Kids, the fact that you have a parent, mom, or a dad who loves Jesus and wants to spend time with Him and wants you to know about Him, that is very special. It is very special. Don't take that for granted. There are so many people that live in this country who have no idea what it means to know Jesus. And God, in His graciousness, allowed you to have a mom and dad who love you, who care for you, and who want you to know the very one who created you and cares for you and sustains you in every part of your life. So thank Him for how God loves you. Thank God for how He has brought your mom and dad in your life to be able to help you understand God. Don't take that for granted, all right? Let's pray. Jesus, thank You for the ways in which You care for us. Jesus, You are so good and You are so kind. The cross, the fact that You were willing to go to the cross for us so that we could once again be restored to our Heavenly Father. God, You made this, Jesus, You made this sacrifice. Father, You are willing to let Your Son go through the cross so that You could restore us. Thank You for that. That and in so many other ways, we are reminded of Your goodness. And for that, we thank You. Help us this week as we go through these four Psalms to see how You are faithful and kind and good and forgiving and loving to us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.